This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neat and Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinirao Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Mahalo lele and welcome everyone to Neesian Footy, the best spot to keep in touch with Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Sam Wykes. It is good to be back from Japan. Good to see my Cook Island koi again. Tinira Arona, did you miss me?
Kia ora, mate. Yes, I did miss you. But thank you again to Will Hopewate for stepping in.
He's
done a great job. But yeah, I missed you, brother. How was the trip?
It was unreal seeing some of the boys' faces over there, just thinking, they were saying, I feel like I'm in a movie. You know, young 15-year-olds knowing that there's a bigger world out there and getting to explore and play a bit of footy. Yeah, it was heartwarming to see.
Yeah, nice. We'll dive a little bit deeper into your trip over in Japan shortly. But coming up on today's show, we have the NRL and NRLW Grand Finals. We'll go deep into a quick review. And we'll also catch up with Sala Tongatuki to cover the NRLW. Sammy, I believe you've got some rugby news to cover. And then let's hear about that Japan trip of yours.
My name is Eli Kato, and I'm listening to Nissan Footy.
Yeah, Eli Kato, he'll be enjoying Grand Final week for his first ever time prepping. And that's what's on everyone's mind, AT, Grand Final weekend.
Mate.
Like for the NRLW and, of course, the NRL.
Yeah, I'll start with the NRL, man. What a week. For those two teams. And usually when you ask me, oh, who's going to win this week? Who do you think's going to take it out? I'll sit on the fence and I'll usually, play it safe and go, I think both teams will play tough. But deep down, I'll know who's going to win. But I just wouldn't share it with you. Whereas this weekend's game, man, I've got no idea. When you think about how good Melbourne Storm have been this year, how informed they have been consistently throughout the whole year, and then also the Panthers, man, this is their fifth grand final in a row. I just can't put my money on one team.
Who do you think has the best knowledge about how to manage grand final week? You know, it's a different week compared to every other week, as you mentioned, Daily M's and breakfasts and stuff like that. Like, you've got the five people of Penrith Panthers 5 years in a row, and you've obviously got Craig Bellamy, who's been there for, I don't even know, how many? How many has he been?
It's like he's played 10 grand finals.
10?
That's every second grand final of his coaching career.
That's impressive.
That's outstanding, eh?
So who do you think will probably have the best week of prep and having that bit of knowledge to help get that detail right and manage the week of emotions?
Great question. So I was at the Daly M's on Wednesday night and, you know, I got to get a feeling from both teams. You've got the Melbourne Storm boys on one table and then you've got Brian To'o, and Isaiah Yeo on the other table. And I managed to go over there after they received their awards and sort of just get a feeling, and I felt like the Storm boys were quite calm, quite like they were enjoying themselves. You know, whether I think Jerome Hughes winning that Daily M was a big achievement, but they were all quite proud and you could see smiles, real relaxed. But then I've sensed from the Penrith boys, just they were locked in, you know, they were zoned in. The boys were there to receive their awards, but they're thinking, you know, grand final. So don't know what, like, don't want to read too much into that because both will have its advantage. Will play as an advantage for that kind of feeling, but it was just interesting to see the two different kind of vibes that from both clubs.
You know what I'm looking forward to about these two? I feel like it's the best two teams that handle pressure the best.
Yep.
Especially the two best players like Munster, Nathan Cleary. Under pressure, I feel like those two have always stood up. And when I think of probably other previous grand finals, it was probably the fact that the other team hadn't handled that pressure as well. So that's why I think you're right. It's going to be a hard one to choose.
Well, I had a few strengths for both teams. I'll start with the Panthers. I think their outside backs, I've mentioned them a number of times. You've got Sonia Taruva, Brian To'o, Paul Alamotti, Isaac Tango, and Dylan Edwards at the back. Just their speed, their footwork, the way they get their team on the front foot. The forwards don't have to run all the way back to get behind the ball because they're usually coming in hot, one, two, three. Brian To'o is constantly consistently making 200 plus meters every game, and it's a normal thing for him now. He's getting the team on the front foot, and then it just makes it easier for those middles. I think their defensive work, the Panthers, their line speed, the way they keep the other teams on the other end of the field and just build that pressure, just really, you know, choking them to get opportunities down the other end. And then their attack, their spine, you know, you've got Nathan Cleary, you've got Jerome Luai, you've got Yeo, just that chemistry that they've had. They've played together since they were teenagers, and everyone has a role in that Panthers team when they're attacking the try line. So don't expect one big play. It'll be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So I think they've been here before. It's their last ride for a few of the boys. Jerome Luai, James Fisher-Harris, Sunia Turuva, all moving on. So they'll be motivated to put on a big performance. Now, Melbourne Storm, bigger players, tall, you know, those bigger, taller type players. You've got Xavier Coates, Will Warbrick, even Tui Kamikamitha. He's starting in place of Big Nelson. Sorry, I didn't even mention Nelson, the Sofa Solomona.
Massive loss.
Bro, huge loss. So I think, in my eyes, if he plays, they would go in strong favourites. Now missing someone with that...
that presence, that presence. Stature. Yep.
Same as when Jared plays
exactly.
for Roosters.
Yep.
Nelson brings that for the Storm. So I think it's a huge loss, but they've still... So they got them taller, bigger players. Do they bend the Panthers' defensive line backwards through their size, the way that Will Warbrick brings the ball back, the way that Xavier Coates carries off the back fence, and then you've got those taller middles. They've also got a lot of role players like and hard workers, you know, the go-getters in their team. You've got Ali Katoa, Sean Bloor. I mentioned last week the work that Ali Katoa was doing off the ball, inside pressure, getting off the line, and then they just run them genuine lines for their big four. Now, I think this is where the game will be, you know, if they are to win, these boys step up. Jerome Hughes, Ryan Pappenhausen, Cameron Munster, and Harry Grant. You know, that spine, you know, most teams have a big two or big three, man, when you have a big four. And they are, you know, the greatest players in the game alongside the Penrith spine as well. Yeah, I think they're going to be hard to beat, but they've been in form all year. Numerous players across the board can step up and own the game. It's going to be an exciting one this weekend.
I know Brian holds his own on the wing, on all those attacking kicks near the line. Do you think with those tall players like that the Melbourne Storm have, are they going to go to those contestables, the cross fields, a lot more to try and test him out?
Yeah, they'll be silly not to with the size of, you know, those boys, Xavier Coates and Will Warbrick, and the way that they can get into the air. You know, Brian Tor, he does have his strengths, but he also isn't as tall as them boys. The way to stop that, don't give him that ball on that try line. You know, try and play down the other end of the field. So it would come down to discipline again. You know, the amount of penalties they give away, the amount of drop balls, possession, play territory. Yeah, I reckon that when it comes down to it, it'll be whoever has the ball the longest will win the game. Final tip, Sammy, I'll jump off the fence.
Ooh,
all right, we're putting our houses on and...
It's not a... I don't want to do that anymore.
You don't have many houses left.
I don't have any houses left.
Man, this is a very, very tough one because my heart wants to say Penrith, but just that feeling, the way Melbourne have been playing recently and that big four... Jerome Hughes, man, the way that he's been killing it this year. I'm sorry to my family, to my beloved Western Sydney, but if I was to put my house on it, I'd probably go the Storm by only a couple points.
I'm actually with you. I was thinking the Storm only by a couple of points. I reckon the hit Craig's been burning since that grand final that they lost. When was that, 4 years ago?
Now, it was the... So they won the... 2021, they lost the preliminary.
Yeah, I reckon he's just been stewing on that for a long time. So I feel like the Melbourne Storm are coming and they're going to win by a couple of points.
And, you know, if Panthers do win, man, I'll be
you're winning either
man.
Way.
We win either way. But, yeah, I just don't want to be losing my house if we were to put it on. Yeah, but that would be my pick. And remember, you can hear that NRL Grand Final this week live on ABC Radio Australia. In other news, Sammy, Daily M's. I was there on Wednesday night. Man, what a event. Love to see the players just come in, enjoy themselves, all, you know, polished up, suited
stunning,
up.
Stunning, eh? The men and the women?
Men and women.
Wow.
But there was a lot of Nijin talent as well, especially up on the stage receiving awards. You know, I'll go through the list. We've got Stephen Crichton. He was the captain of the year for the NRL and also center of the year. Great work, skipper. Also, Brian To'o. You know, he got the winger of the year. Funny one, as I was walking to the car, Bizzle was walking with his wife and he's holding his trophy. And I'm like, man, how many do you have? How many of those do you have? Zed's just got to go join the rest of the team. You're building your own little team of Daily M trophies. And he just had a bit of a giggle. Adam Fanua-Blake, prop of the year. Did you see what he was wearing?
But I loved his attire, him and his wife.
He had the Dupenu on,
you know, the traditional, you know, to explain it, like the skirt, like, and just that shirt. I'm pretty sure that was a Versace.
Versace shirt.
And his wife was stunning too. She had the tupper, like the matte type of pattern into her dress as well. Beautiful.
Yeah, I said, man, looking flash. And it's funny thing on the invite, it says black tie event. Bro, Adam, you do whatever you want, brother. You do you, bro. And Ali Katoa, who we had on our show last week, he got second rower of the week. Second rower of the year. Xavier Coates, mate, try of the year. We mentioned it when he was on. Did we have him on the show
after? Straight after the big dive.
That big dive in the corner where he jumps over Dullin. And, man, that was unbelievable. I still see that image in my mind now. Actually, Sammy, let's add a piece from that interview and hear what he had to say about that try that he scored.
Meany, 16 away from the line, and he'll play the ball 18 in from the eastern touchline. Hughes, Pappenhausen left, numbers, Lima Smith gets it away to Xavier Coates, who claims what will be a spectacular try. Can you believe it? Xavier Coates flies as high as the Melbourne skyline.
As high as the Melbourne skyline. Mate, what a moment. Has it sunk in yet? Like how great that try actually was?
I think it has now. I've seen the replay a few times. A few of my mates have sent it to me as well. A few of them said I was carrying on a bit. I should have just put the ball down normally, but... It's a pretty cool moment. I had a bit of an upbringing. I had an athletics background, so I was really big into my long jump and triple jump. And I think transitioning from athletics into rugby league, it took a bit of understanding about rugby league, but, you know, also adding a bit of my individual characteristics to it. So I think that's helped my transition onto the wing and, you know, finishing off opportunities. And in training, I practice it a fair bit. I put a pad out next to the corner post and I get one of the coaches to pass the ball into me and another coach to sort of come across as if he's a defender. And my job is to sort of position my body in a way where I can finish and put the ball down and sort of stop that defender from interfering with the ball or slapping the ball out of my hands. So it's practiced a fair bit. Pretty much every training session I'm doing that after we finish our field sessions. And, you know, the more repetitions you get of it, the better you get at it.
And then Tiana Benedani. She got captain and center of the year in the NRLW. Man, what an achievement.
Well deserved.
You know what the cool thing about Tiana was? And even a few of the people that I was with, our staff members, the next day said how well she done. She was receiving awards, but also doing media work. So she was going up interviewing players and then she would go sit down and then she'd have to go up and get a trophy, do a speech, go back down and then get up and go in front of the camera. So to be able to play both roles, I thought she'd done a great job. She's
impressive, man. She's like the privilege to work with her every Monday on that Pacific Sports Show and just see how she comes in from the weekend after a win or a loss, straight into business and just, I couldn't speak more highly enough of her.
And her sister, Tasha, she was a nominee for Rookie of the Year in NRLW. Yasmin Clydesdale, second rower of the year. She's also been here on Knees and Footy, shared about her farm life in Scone. So congrats to Yasmin. Samama Dalfa, lock of the year. And also the haka for Jerome Hughes. You know, he got the big award, Jerome Hughes, the Daily M 2024 winner, and then they had Will Warbrick. So to come up, sorry, as he received his award, it was about to be finished. Will Warbrick stands up, starts the haka chant, and then we had Joseph Tapine and then Ali Katoa both come down from stage, put their trophies down, join Will, and respectfully done the haka for Jerome. I went up straight after when the event was finished and asked Will, I was like, oh, was that always planned? And he goes, oh, I kind of mentioned it, but I was nervous as hell, mate. Like, because it was all quiet.
Yeah, it's quiet. I'm going to go do this.
I go, did you know the boys were going to come down? He goes, I was hoping so, because we were the only three Kiwis yes. in there. I go, bro, I was going to come, but I was like four or five tables away. So you've done a great job, bro. And then another funny story. The next day, yesterday I was with a couple of the Tongan boys. And they were having a laugh saying, Ellie, on the Tongan chat, he goes, don't ever do the New Zealand haka when you're Tongan, mate.
He did get up there, that's right. He got up there,
bro. But respect to Ellie, man. He owned that. And just shows how much respect they have for Jerome Hughes. And, you know, that's a great achievement because he's definitely deserved that award. In other news, Prime Minister's 13 teams were announced. And in the men's, we have Alofiana Khan Pereira. He's selected into that team, and also in the women's, our friend Mona Lisa Soliola. Great work to both of them players. That will be played next weekend in PNG, and you can hear that also live on ABC Radio Australia.
So much happening in rugby league. I don't think you've left me any time to go through, again, our ad break for rugby union. There's plenty happening there. But I just want to add to the awards. You've missed out on the most prestigious award that's going around at the moment.
Did I?
Yep. The New South Wales Council for Pacific Communities, Nijan Footy, Tinito Arona and Sam Wykes are part of the finalists.
Yes, that's right.
You sound really excited. I think your mum nominated us.
No, I was laughing because mum was just trying to call me when we were talking about a minute ago, and it's probably about that nomination. She's probably asking if I sent you them details, but congrats, mate. I think it's some great recognition, and looking forward to that event.
See if we come home with the chocolates, and we can celebrate here on Nijan Footy at some point. All right, let's move over to Rugby Union news and the WXV3 results. Fijiana, they beat Hong Kong China 38-3, which is great news after a couple of disappointing losses. So they're now back in the winner's circle. Manusina drew with the Netherlands 8-0. They must have some smokies in there for the Netherlands. They got the win against Fijiana. Now they've drawn with Manusina Samoa. I need to check if there's any of our Pacifica players in the Netherlands. They play each other this weekend, so the top two or three from this tournament will likely play in the Rugby World Cup. Again, Fijiana have already qualified. The Wallaroos beat Wales in the WXV2 after losing to them the week earlier. Huge turnaround, and big shout out to Eva Kapani and Faitala Moleka, who got on the scoreboard. And they play this weekend against South Africa. But Faitala Moleka, we've had her on the show before. She was outstanding in that game. She controlled the game well, really injected herself. And her strength is her running game. She's able to, you know, slice through defenders, pick out the weak and slower defenders in the defensive line. And that's exactly what she did. And she was player of the match in that game.
Was she?
Yeah, player of the match. She was outstanding.
She's young too.
Very young. And what I love about what she brings, a lot of energy. We had her on. She's a bit of a vibe, bit of a character.
Yep.
And just watching her immerse herself in the South African culture and, you know, dancing and, you know, with all the staff members at the hotel, speaker on, pulling out her dance moves, and just really enjoying her time. And that type of energy is infectious, especially yep. when you're in a bit of a slump. Like, you have those characters in your team and you know exactly how they can lift the spirits up when you're not getting the results. And now she can dance and celebrate after the back of that win. But they'll come up against South Africa, and hopefully they get the job done against them. Other news as well, with sad news as well. You know, we thought that the Melbourne Rebels, the Super W team, weren't going to be part of the axing for at least next year's competition for 2025 Super W.
When the men's...
They got moved out earlier.
Yeah, the women's were.
Yeah, there was a lot of chat with the. Yep. Yeah, yeah, there was a lot of chat where the women's the game, at least for 2025, wouldn't be affected, and they would still have a team compete in the Super W competition. Now it's just come out just recently that Rugby Australia no longer are going to fund the Super W program for Melbourne. So the Melbourne Rebels Super W team is now not going to compete in the competition. So when you think of rugby league, adding more teams and on a huge trajectory up with the amount that's happening there, NRLW just keeps getting better and better year on year. And Rugby Australia now have decided to cut a team, which pretty much leaves a massive hole in Melbourne, where there's a lot of our Pacifica talent. There's a lot of Pacifica presence down in Melbourne, and they don't have a professional side in the men's or the women's game as a clear pathway to aspire to. So,
well, if I was to give any advice to those ladies, I know it's a tough time, but there's also two NRLW teams that will be joining next year with the Warriors and the Bulldogs. Let's go give rugby league a crack.
Well, it has to be done, mate. Like, you got to go where the opportunity is. And if there's no love somewhere, there's going to be love somewhere else. You know, Rugby Australia has come out and reportedly say they're deeply committed to rugby in Victoria, and they'll continue to fund Rugby Victoria to support and grow community and the state to support the development of female talent. They still say that's their responsibility to, you know, help them go to other Super Rugby franchises.
Was that on a statement? That was in a statement. Accent?
Yeah, to their accent.
Okay.
And, like, it is a little bit laughable at the fact that, we will still help you and we'll help fund you to other states. I'm not sure. Like, it's just not the play. So now at the moment for the Super Rugby, Super W competition, they've got New South Wales Waratahs, the Queensland Reds, the Brumbies, the Force, and the Drua. So the five teams. So it's an uneven competition again. They'll play for Super W. But in light of that, I'm hearing Panini Pacifica is going to be in the competition soon. They're going to be either in the 2026, they'll be joining.
So it's like a women's Moana team.
Yeah, women's Moana team. Yeah. So that they could be coming in.
Yeah, that's right. We had two of the players here on the show early in the year, and they mentioned about the games that they played. What's the chances of Super Rugby fast-forwarding that entry for the Panini Pacific and just bring them in now that Melbourne aren't in the competition next year?
If they do come into 2026, I believe that they have brought it forward. So they must have predicted this. It might be because of the scheduling. I think they're definitely in the preseason competition that they played before Super W for this year. In light of everything, I think that's why, because it was supposed to be forecasted for them to be, I think, maybe 2027, 2028.
Oh, so they have already pushed it forward.
They've already brought it forward. Hopefully there's more pathways for them, especially if more Panini Pacifica come in.
Does this affect the women more than the men when it comes to the action of Melbourne Rebels?
Oh, 100% it does. I think with the men, even when they lost their contracts, Rugby Australia still had to fund them. So even if they're had to go to the Reds or the Waratahs, if they signed a deal beyond the axing of the Rebels, they'll still get their money and go. And then if they didn't, they were free to negotiate and go over to Japan, England, Ireland, France, and go into those competitions. Whereas for the women's game, there's not as many options as there is in the men's game. And I still remember hearing some of the players, because when they were in limbo, some of them were in the Wallaroos team, they had no training base to go to, and like, where do I get my high performance from? So where am I doing my weights? Where am I doing my physio if I'm injured? You know, so all those little things, that off-field things that we don't think about, when you axe a team, you're stuck in limbo. What happens now? Because, again, they weren't fully professional. They weren't paid well. So if someone's stuck with that injury and going, oh, man, I gave my time to this thinking that I was going to rehab and do all that, now I've got to go back to work because there's no opportunities, where does that leave those girls? So there's a lot of issues that just go beyond just the Melbourne Rebels not being there anymore. So, man,
While you were talking there, I had my RLPA hat on, and I could already hear our team going, you know, trying to fight and make sure the girls are protected, and you know whether you know that transition's going to be tough. What happens there? How are they, you know, exactly what you said, where they're training,
Where they're going to be supported, injuries,
supported. So, it's going to be a tough one. Well, Sammy, you just come back from a big trip over in Japan first. What was the reason for the trip? And then give us some good stories.
Oh, mate, it was an unbelievable trip. So myself and a few others have been looking after like our New South Wales Tongans rugby program here, and I guess the purpose behind like trying to organise something like this is just to provide some opportunities out there. You know, some of the experience that we've had as players coming through, I wanted to like give back and try and create those same opportunities for our players.
So you took a team at New South Wales Tongan Rugby Union team, under-15s, right?
Under-15s, yep.
You took them from here to Japan.
We took them over. Yeah, it sounds ludicrous when you think about it. It sounds crazy.
That's crazy.
You know, 26, 15-year-old Tongan kids.
26 boys. 26 boys. Over.
Yeah, look, it was a pretty amazing experience for them. You know, the last 12 months they've been fundraising to go on this trip, and they've done an amazing job, the boys and the families, to be able to, you know, have a goal, work together, and then achieve it, and then live it when they're over there. So I went over there with them for the first 4 days. And, mate, it is so funny. The under-15s, 15-year-old chat boys, you know, you're laughing at the same time. You're going off at them at the same time.
You're telling them to go to sleep.
Go to sleep. And they're, yeah, we are. And then you just can hear the giggling, and you're just in your room, just let them be. You know what it was like when you were 15. But yeah. I think one of the main things as well is just that I love when I was able to spend some time one-on-one, because we did a lot of walking, and just, oh, how are you finding the trip so far? And one of them just said to me, he goes, oh, man, I feel like I'm in a movie.
Yes.
Like, this doesn't feel real. And I was like, nah, like, you know, we take that for granted, you know, traveling.
Yeah.
But for them, like, in their mind, where they grew up, this was never a possibility.
Yeah, they're in that bubble. That's their world, whether it's Sydney or whether
exactly.
It's their little, you know, their area, their town.
Yeah.
Now they're living their dream on the other end of the world in Japan, and they also get to represent Tonga,
their family, everything.
They're there for rugby.
Exactly.
Like, how good
was it, mate? It was awesome. And then, you know, some of the highlights, you know, because of all the TikTok sensations around Artie Salvia doing the egg sandwich with the chicken inside from 7-Eleven. That's all they wanted to do.
Yeah.
Every night. So 10 o'clock was bedtime. They come to me at 9:50. Oh, Sam, can we go to 7-Eleven? I was like, what time's curfew? 10. I go, what's the time now? 9:50. You're lucky I want to get a chocolate too, so let's go. So we went over there and we did that, and they broke the smoothie machine because Quade Cooper's TikTok, like, you know, the 7-Eleven where they mix it together, there was 20 of them lining up and the machine stopped working. So it was those little things. But one of the highlights was going over to the Panasonic Wild Knights. Hopefully we get one of the players, S.A. Huntingana. I think he will be on the show at some point.
Panasonic Wild Knights, who are the stars that play there or have played there?
Digby Ioane, Sonny Bill Williams, yep. Sam Wykes. I think that's it. Nah, heaps, man. Like David Pocock, like they get a lot of stars.
Oh, man, you just said Sonny Bill Williams.
That's that'll enough. Do. Enough
and,
said.
And yourself, of course.
Yeah, of course. SLW, SBW. It's a great ring. But the Ijima-san is the kantoku there. Kantoku is like the owner, director of rugby there. He is that of Panasonic, and he's got a lot of respect for Tongans.
So he's the big dog.
He's the one that says yes or no to players.
Okay, yeah.
He's got a lot of respect for Tongans because of the fact when he came through the university system, there's this thing in Japan called a senpai and a kohai. Senpai is like obviously the older dogs, and then the kohais are the young bulls coming through. And it's a massive hierarchy system in Japanese culture where you pretty much have to do whatever the senpai says.
One to one.
So they're like, so if you're in your year group, it pretty much that's how it will roll.
Oh yeah.
So it's like being in year 12 and you've been in year 7, you pretty much do exactly what the year 12 say, and there's no questions asked. So it was pretty brutal, like I guess back in those days, on how that happened, like massages, clean the boots, like you do everything, whatever they say you do. Whereas the Tongans, when they became the senpai for Ijima-san, apparently they just called him into the room and just go, yeah, we'll just tell them that you did all that, but we'll look after you. And from that point on, he never forgot that. And so when he came, he had something to do and wasn't going to be there for the Tongans, but his senpai is Hopoi Taone, who was the first ever Tongan to represent Japan, non-Japanese player to represent Japan in any sport, but it was in rugby. He was Ijima's kohai, and he was the senpai. He just gave him a call straight away and said, hey, can you go meet the Tongan boys at Panasonic? Dropped everything. He was there with gifts, gave every single player a Panasonic jersey.
No way.
Yep. gave him a Panasonic jersey and just gave a nice little speech around just being in Japan and the respect. And our boys were just grateful for that opportunity.
But you forgot the part where you called Hopoi.
Oh, yeah, sorry, that's right.
You called Hopoi to call this man at Panasonic, the big dog, and then he's...
Because I've asked the staff before I got there, because, again, he's the big boss, the hierarchy system. They're not going to ask any questions. Like, hey, can you make sure Ijima's there? Got no real word back.
So you asked staff there. Staff people there. Come in and visit the team and just say hello.
So I had to ring a Hopoi from in Sydney. I said, can you ask Ijima-san if he could be there? As soon as he rang him, he was there straight away. And mate, the boys, they loved it.
Be a good person, and then it would come back.
Yeah, it comes
even
back.
Even if it comes back, and he's just affected what the whole rugby team.
So that was it, mate. And so it's a great experience for our boys to immerse themselves in a new culture, get out of their comfort zone, and they're going to come back better for it.
No, great work, Samia. Just on a side note, I was a part of a golf day yesterday, and a number of NRL players were there. A lot of
big
Nisian
name dropping
boys.
Day for you today.
Yeah, so, very big, very big. well, I actually got your cousin that you've been trying for a long time to get on the show, and I'm like, man, Sam, your cousin Sammy's been trying to get you on the show, and he goes, he actually went through your messages in front of me, and he goes, no, he hasn't. Look, he's a liar.
He's a liar.
And I was like, this guy. And then, I know Melbourne are playing Panthers in the big grand final, and Felice Kafusi, he was a part of the 2020 grand final when Melbourne beat Panthers. He was also at the golf day, and I'm going, what are you doing this Monday, mate? And he's like, nah, nothing. I was like, what's the chance of you jumping on Nisian Footy and, you know, sharing your story? And he goes, yeah, where do I send my invoice?
Yes, to T's account. Send it to tinnerel@gmail.com.
All you do, mate, is you put your email here and we will send you
an invite
to Nisian Footy this Monday. So I am hoping that we have the big dog, Felice Kafusi, here on Nisian Footy on Monday.
See, mate, stuff what everyone else says about you, you go all right, mate. You go all right.
And then
right.
We'll get your cousin on in a few weeks later to beautiful. Talk about pack champs.
Yeah, see, we timed it well. I'll hit him up now. Beautiful, T. Outstanding work.
All right, let's get to Sala Tongatuki to chat all things NRLW Grand Final. Let's go.
The Pacific Break competition has now finished for 2024. And with over 300 songs submitted from across 18 Pacific Island countries, this year was bigger than ever.
Now, who was the winner, you ask?
Chris Kamuana Rohoi Mai from the Solomon Islands, that's who, with his track, Narita na Manu.
Let's go, Chris.
ABC Radio Australia, yours in the Pacific.
The Rugby League Preview.
Now comes the way to the right edge. Tongatuki!
With Sala Tongatuki.
Yes, we're blessed with her presence. Sala Tongatuki, Samoan representative, New South Wales origin player, and NRLW superstar. Sala, welcome back to your show, Nisian Footy.
Thanks, boys, for having me back, my show. Oh, wow. Thank you.
How was the week, Ben? We had the Daily M's on Wednesday night. Anything mm-hmm. catch your eye from the Daily M's as well?
Oh, just the dress of the night, yeah. They were amazing. And the suits, everyone looked really sharp. But, I think I was just really proud just seeing Abby Church up in the run, running for the Daily M for the NRW. She's someone I started playing with, and, yeah, just seeing where she was, she had a cracker season, and, yeah, I couldn't think of anyone deserving to be up in that running. And then, just topped it off with Olivia Koenig just taking it out. Being in a team full of superstars, it's sort of hard to get Daly M points week in, week out. But what Koenig's done with some of those star players being out from time to time, she stepped up and she filled in those big shoes and helped Izzy sort of lead. And she even, I think she got appointed vice-captain not long ago. Who knows, she might get the Karen Murphy medal if Roosters go well this weekend.
Yeah,
be interesting.
There was a number of Nisian NRLW players that received awards. We spoke about how good it was for Tiana Benatani to be named captain of the year and centre, but also from your team, her sister, Tash, she was a nominee for Rookie of the Year. What are your thoughts on Tash and her performance this year?
He was definitely the standout for me. She's just someone who deserved that recognition. Been so long, so consistent, and I'm just glad. Like, I feel like this is her year, and I'd be so happy if, like, you know, I'd probably give it early, but I am a rookie's player, and I'd be gunning for them to go again for another premiership. But if Sharks get, still be happy too. I think a lot of people would be happy for those girls, and but T especially, happening a team only their second season and to go to a grand final, that's massive. And then having a little sister, and she told me she was coming over, and I told her I'd look after her and stuff when we were in camp, and I didn't know she was in the Sharks pathways or their system at for a couple of years, not just one or two, it was four. And just seeing like her determination and the never give up attitude, and she literally was like a sponge. Like, she was absorbed, like, everything. I would normally do my own extras, and she would make sure she's out there. And we called it like a mother's tea, like a meeting, every captain's run. And I felt like that was a nice little like bond we sort of created. And it was just action. They like, she's definitely someone that leads by actions. We did that. And then the rest of the middle in our middle pack started coming on. And that just showed us such a young age for Tash. Like, she's got that leadership in that like character in her. And, but just like, bro, she's for a big girl. Like, man, she can move. Like, and she's solid. Like, even when we're doing the pose, I'm like, what the, like, where did that come from? Like, but she's like so humble. Like, there's times that she'll speak down on her strength. And I'm like, no, don't do that. I was like, we need that. Like, you know, when you're doing a pose with your mates, you don't want to hurt them. But how would you ever know your full potential if you don't give it a crack? So, and I told Tash that, like, if anyone knows me, like, I'll give it 110%. And I felt like it was perfect that she sort of came under my wing. And I just like, man, she's a couple of years in her, I'm telling you. She's bound to get a Dally M, like, some sort of award in that.
You brought up a good point. You play like you train, and I'm looking forward to seeing Tasha's development and growth, and, you know, how far she takes the game in the next couple of years, especially under your wing there at the Tigers. Now, big grand final coming up, Roosters versus Sharks. I know you're Roosters diehard, and, you know, that red, white and blue blood still goes through your veins, but what are your thoughts on this big game this weekend?
Nah, like, the Roosters, like, they obviously they're heading into this game as, like, star favourites. I feel like their key players will, like, come down to their, like, back line. I don't know, like, they've just, like, having Sam Bremner and, like, Tarrant Aiken, what they did in that semi-final performance, it showed a lot. Like, it was pivotal for the Roosters, and I feel like their right edge is probably going to be proving, like, I reckon that'll be their strong attacking point. And I feel like obviously Olivia Koenig and getting Dally M, like, that's going to boost her confidence. And Jocelyn Kelleher, like, she's been building week, game by game. And I feel like there'll be crucial moments where, like, she'll have to come in and, you know, help out her team. But yeah, there's so much stripe power across that Roosters outfit. Like, you got the middle pack, Tessa, like, I've spoken on her, and we saw how many, like, tackle breaks she was doing, and she does it so easily. And to have Millie Boyle, like, an engine like hers, it's going to be hard to stop, because she does a lot of, like, sideline running. But I feel like, obviously, Roosters know, and they've got great defenders in their middle pack. Like, just take her legs, like, simple key. But, yeah, on the other hand of Sharks, I feel like don't underestimate them too. They have such a strong attacking edge as well, like, through Anna Panatani and Cassie Staples. Like, I reckon those two, like, can exploit any weaknesses in a Roosters defence. But, like, the Sharks' left has been productive all season too, and I reckon they'll have to be sharp, like, to keep this match on, you know, to, like, keep Roosters on their toes and that this weekend. And like, having Anissa Biddle too, like, man, she's going to be a handful for the Roosters, and I know Izzy and that will be there too. It will be a good matchup. Like, really, and even the middle is, like, it's so balanced. You've got Tiana Davison, who's playing lock, even with Brookie Anderson. Like, they're both Kiwi Ferns representative. And then, like, there's a lot of, like, international players in that team and some potential, but the bench, it's studded. Like, it's so many, like, good players coming off that bench, and so hard to see who's going to really – it's going to come down to the battle of the forwards too, like – who's going to be willing to stay in the grind, and those last couple of minutes of the game, I know that's where sort of will test them. And both teams have shown, like, really good defense, in, like, especially Sharks. I think Broncos try to exploit their try line. The Sharks did not let them through. And like, there were so many glimpses, like moments we thought the Broncos were going to get over that try line, and like, the Sharks added like their attitude and defense, like definitely we know defense wins games. So yeah, just like Pani Hopewadi, Tegan Dimmock, and that coming off like the bench, and Vanessa Foliaki, she's going to be big for Sharks. She's experienced, and here her and Mina, Philomena Hanisi, both were in those Roosters grand final appearances, and they've got the experience to know like what it takes and that to really get the job done, and it takes time. Like,
just on that, the common theme on this show is putting your house on the line to make a decision. I've lost my house that many times, so I want to ask you the same question. You've bought your house for the family. It's a big call, a lot of emotion behind it. If you were to put that house on the line for this grand final, who are you choosing to win NRLW Grand Final 2024?
Yeah, I can't say no. Like, my gut's my house, the gut for my house.
Exactly. Yeah. There's a lot.
It's saying go with Roosters. So
the Roosters. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Makes a lot of sense.
In the NRL, if you were to put your house on one of those teams, which one are you choosing?
Penrith Panthers.
Okay.
I love the West, and I love Penrith Panthers. So I'm gunning for them to go 4-peat. And
so you're saying definitely Panthers.
Just put a house on them, mate.
Put your house
there
on it, and Melbourne, they'll beat Melbourne.
Yeah, well, if I don't get it, I've got a couple of friends in that Panthers team, and
I'll just stay at their house.
Give me a loan and that, so I can get another house.
I love it.
Sorry, well, boys, yeah.
Nah, good stuff. You made a decision. I love it. I've sat on the fence that many times. I've lost houses.
I think I might change. Sway your bet. I think I switch, hey. I might have to put my house back on Panthers.
Did you go Storms?
I went to Storm. And I went Storm Sharks.
Heart,
I went opposite you.
My heart is at Panthers, but when I've seen your confidence, I'm like, you might have just, you know, put my house on the other side now.
No, but you just got to look at it. Like, there's so much, like, to play for Penrith. Like, the boys, like, Romy and Tito, like, that team will
Fisher
never.
Harris.
Like,
yeah, I'm, you're right.
And Fisher Harris. Yeah. I know there's so many players
my
that
my house is
lost
on Penrith. You,
lucky you can
right
subdivide your land. You can get half-half. You'll be sweet.
Nah, it's all on Penrith.
Bro, that costs a lot more subdivisions. Oh, no.
So you're going Roosters in the NRLW, Panthers in the NRL, and then 2 weeks from the grand finals, we have Pac Champs. Some big games coming up. We've just seen the news this week. Ivania Politi pledged her allegiance to Samoa. Is there any other news? Any other girls going to follow her?
Oh, I did hear something. Oh, she, sorry.
Oh, yes, we're in here.
Ooh.
Yeah, there is someone coming to Samoa too, but it is someone really good. Like, I know that they're really gunning for some players to come over and play, to, you know, because it's only one team that's going to go through, like, qualify for World Cup.
Yeah.
I mean, these games mean a lot. Like, every game, you've got to win it. Pretty much like a do or die, but, yeah.
Final question for me.
Who's going to win the Wallaroos or South Africa in rugby?
Where are you watching the game this weekend?
Probably at the pub.
Smoking like a true person from the West.
Where's the local? Ah, great work. Well, you enjoy the game this weekend, and have a great weekend, and we will chat to you next week.
Thanks, boys.
Shot Salah. Take care.
Appreciate you.
Chris and Rita Aumanu Leong here from Pacific Beat. It's my pleasure to welcome our new ABC Radio Australia listeners on 107 FM in Auckland in the Solomon Islands. You can now tune in to the latest news, sport, music and entertainment from right across the Pacific. If you're in Auckland, Rafle Oka of Denglea, and welcome to ABC Radio Australia on 107 FM, yours in the Pacific.
Culture Shock.
Well, Sammy, it's been a long time, a couple of weeks now. Last time I shared about Hopewadi, the first Tongan who arrived to Australia,
Tongan. Recorded, yep.
And at the end of that episode, it was Wallace and Fortuna we were going to send you to bring back something that will shock us, your listeners, our audience. What do you got for us?
Mate, lucky I read the rundown on the plane on the way home, or as I got down and remembered.
So this should be great.
Yeah, so now I'm all over.
Usually you're reading it on the way up here.
No, I'm good. I'm good to go. Wallace and Fortuna is part of the Pacific, right?
I already know you're reading off ChatGPT.
yes. But this is an interesting fact, right? So it's split up into three islands. So you've got the Wallace of the north. It's Futuna is down in the south, and Alofi, no one lives there. So, but it's split up into three. Back in the 1500s, Tongans invaded Wallace. Tongans got in there.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So they and tried to, you know, implement their hierarchy system of the monarchy. So they've got some kings there. They've got three kings and or two kings or something for their islands, and then they tried to set up there and settle, but they, you know, got run out by the Futuna, the Wallace people. Then in the 1600s, Samoans
had a crack
at Futuna, okay? And they were able to settle there for a little bit, and they were able to get out. So this is what happened. Then, hang on, let me get this up here.
So Tongas had a crack at Wallace.
At Wallace.
Sent out. Samoans had a crack at Futuna.
Okay.
Sent out.
And then... So they got sent out, and then
Cook Islands went to Alofi.
The Cook Islands still no one's there anymore. No one lives there. They got there and it's like, oh, no one lives here. We can't conquer, so we'll go back to the Cook Islands. And then that's when all the explorers started to come and travel. The British explorers came, and then the French Catholic missionaries.
Yep.
We're still talking about Catholic, yeah? But so they permanently settled in 1837. And so this is what happened. So the Queen Amelia of Wallace, this is how they got the French part of it, asked for protection from the French so they weren't overtaken by any other countries anymore, or any of the other Pacific. And so that's how they got that French connection, through all the French missionaries. Missionaries, that's how you say it, eh? Something else just keeps popping into my head when I keep saying missionaries. Sorry, is that play on? I got no idea. But that was in 1842 when that happened. And so the French, supported the...
So that's how,
that's how it came in.
Now under the French banner.
Under French banner. But the best thing about this as well, so when I think of, in Futuna, there's, it's made up of three places. Let me get this up here for a second.
Yeah, Wallace, Futuna, and...
No, in Futuna itself. Wait.
Mate, this is longer than your rugby news.
I know. Oh, here. Well, this is, so the Tongan influence in Futuna, so it's divided up into three districts, Hahake, Mu'a, and Hihifo. They're all Tongan districts as well. So over there.
So that was influenced from the
1500s.
And that's why the Queen in the 1800s said, we need protection.
We need protection from the French.
We need the French to come in and protect us from Tonga, Samoa, and Cook Islands, who took Alofi.
Yeah, Alofi. So that's...
Great,
is that all right?
That was great. That was...
I was all over the shop there.
No, it was
As
good,
I said,
was
something
good.
Was coming to my mind. But anyway... It was the Tongans, mate. They were brutal back in the day. They tried to take over everyone. No wonder why no one likes them now.
Yeah. Jokes.
Everyone loves the Tongans.
Well, Sammy, where are we off to next week?
Where are we off to next? All right, we're going to do something a little bit different, even though we've been to PNG a couple of times now. But I want to know
these different little curveballs, eh?
Just slight deviations from what we're normally doing. Rugby league in PNG. Just give me some cultural shocks, some facts around why rugby league is so prominent in PNG. With the Prime Minister's 13 coming up, thought it's quite fitting.
Well, I think I might try to reach out to our good friend Paulie Aiton for this one.
Oh, yeah, okay. Xavier Coates, maybe.
Maybe.
Shelley Long. Oh, yeah, we got a bit of information.
Number,
yeah.
A number of them. So, right. Yeah, sweet. I'll come back next week with something from rugby league and in PNG. Let's head over to Professor Paulo.
Quiet, boys and girls. It's Professor Paulo.
Yes, each week, Professor Paulo gives us a question, the marathon runner.
he's run a few Ks.
He's gives us a question every week. We keep a score on whoever gets it right, and the loser has to shout lunch at the end of the season. When's the end of the season? We're going to the end of the
end season.
The last episode, yep. The score is 15-13. And I think I got last week's one right. So, yeah, I'm all right. Closing the gap.
Closing the gap there, 15-13, the score in my favour.
Let's go.
It's grand final week, the best week of rugby league. The two best teams fight it out this Sunday. Melbourne Storm versus the Penny Panthers. And with 10 players of Pacific and Nisian heritage, how many of those 10 players were actually born in their Pacific nation?
Ooh.
Well, that's a good one.
That's a great one.
Think in your head.
I was going to say Stephen Crichton was born in Samoa, but he's obviously not in the grand final this week.
I'm going to go... One.
I'm just going to go... Just go one up from you. I'm going to go two.
It's nearest to a...
Yeah.
The answer to that question is three, all from the Melbourne Storm, Xavier Coates in the PNG, Tui Kamikamika in Fiji, and Alisa Katoa in Tonga.
Who was the first one? Xavier. Was he born
yeah,
in PNG?
Yeah, PNG, that's right. We had him on the show. He talked about that.
I was only thinking Ellie and I forgot about... Tui was another one.
Kamikamitha, not Kamika.
Yeah, come on, Seth.
Come on, Seth. But anyway, then, I'll take the win. Thank you. 16 plays so 13. Good to be back.
None from Penrith.
None.
But diehard Samoans, a lot of them.
Yeah, that's
true. Fijians. Any Tongans? Paul Alamotti?
Oh, yes. Yep.
Well, next let's go one. Knockout topic. Knockout
tipping comp.
Time.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Knockout tipping time.
I don't think we have many teams to pick from, but each week we have our knockout tipping comp where we pick one team and we can't pick them again. And again, we keep a score. The loser at the end of the season who buys a fancier lunch than the Professor Paulo competition we have.
Yes.
I'm on 43, Sam, you're on 35. And
are we carrying this on through PAC Champs as well? Or
yeah,
no?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay, of course. So I still can't win, but anyway.
Because we've got the men's and the women's as well.
Ooh,
so
okay. There is a possibility.
There's a chance.
T, you've run out of teams because you didn't time it well. You tried to go.
Well, that's why I'm on 43, mate.
Yeah, that's, yeah, you're right,
35,
mate.
So, you can pick Penrith. This is your last team.
Oh, okay. So, I've got to go Penrith in the tipping comp, but even though Storm I'm going to go the Storm. So, either way, I'm winning.
So, yeah.
Either way, I'm winning.
So, you're going Penrith, and we'll go with the NRLW. We'll pick one team each. Roosters versus Sharks, the Arona Cup.
No, I'm going Sharkies. I know you.
I'm
going straight Sharkies. I'm going to follow my T, Coey.
Mate. I've seen the Roosters girls at the Dalian's and they are
They're definitely the favourites.
Go,
so they're the favourites.
I'm happy that you went the Sharks because I believe.
No, I'm going to follow my Coey, Tiana Penatani.
By the way, it's a win-win.
Yeah, we're always winning. For all of us. If you're not winning, you're learning. All right, well. So that's it.
That's the end.
We're already done.
We're done,
outstanding.
Mate.
Well, that's our time up for another Nisian Footy Friday. Remember, you can listen back to our Monday and Friday shows. Just search for Nisian Footy wherever you get your podcast. T, you're outstanding today.
Hey, Felice, if you're listening, we'll see you on Monday.
Yo.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.